Well, good morning out there in radio land. What a day, what a glorious day it is to be alive in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior. We are in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever's in front of you, He is more than enough, my friend. He is still able. A couple great announcements coming up here. Lamb of God play there in Caneyville, Kentucky, Sunday 13th. That's this Sunday night at 7 o'clock p.m., followed up by another one on next Friday the 18th at 7 o'clock p.m., it's going to be a great play down there in Caneyville, Kentucky. A lot of churches, a youth drama team helps out. Caneyville Choir, I think, is coming. So it's a lot of great things happening there. You can find the more information on our app for those who need it. Community Choir, Youth Drama Team, and the Passion Play. Amen. So you can find more information. We have the paper on our app now, and so you can find all that information concerning the event there. Glory Conference starts tonight over in Edmonton, Kentucky with Pastor Adam Burton and Breakthrough Ministries today, tonight and tomorrow. You can find out as well on our app. All these are on our app. Community Tent Meeting, Pastor Dwayne Kidd, April the 16th through 19th, 6 o'clock p.m. nightly. He's going to call in Monday morning and talk a little bit with us about the tent meeting that's going to be happening there in Bonnieville, Kentucky, later in part of next week. Well, actually, it'll be most of the latter part of next week, and then I think Miss Debbie Childers is going to be on with us Monday morning as well, talking some art in the park. You ever been to Art in the Park, Rick?
Seen it.
It's coming right up. It's right around the corner.
I've walked through there, and people are very talented.
Yes, mm-hmm. They are.
It's a huge event.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's going to be on next Monday, chatting with us about that. Our resurrection plays right around the corner as well next Saturday evening, not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday, starting at 6 o'clock p.m. be the first showing, and then we'll do it again resurrection Sunday morning, the 20th at 10:30 a.m. So two times to come and watch. I know a lot of people from other churches are planning to come here on that Saturday night, and then a lot of our home crew will be there that Sunday morning. This will be a wonderful opportunity to bring your lost loved ones. And so if you have some families, you have some friends that just don't know the Lord, or maybe has drifted away from the Lord, or they just need a dose of Jesus, man, bring them out those two nights. It'd be a wonderful opportunity. You can say, well, it's not going to be church as normal. There'll be it's a play. And maybe you can convince them to come out to that on Easter morning. Weather today, Rick, I asked Rick to pray about it stop raining, and he said that rain was a blessing. So I'm going to try to find the blessing in the 17,000 inches of rain we've got in the last 2 weeks.
It's just prophetic for the spiritual.
It is for both.
I've been keeping an eye on Rough River and the height of the river, and it's pumping. I mean, like, when I say the spillway is pumping, it is pumping.
Yeah.
And so is the dam.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's still, like, not going down much.
No.
We're still hot. I mean, we've gone down quite a bit. Like,
you can see about this far underneath the bridge now.
Yeah, over at Peter Cave.
Uh-huh.
Look at that. It's coming. But last time I checked yesterday, my internet's running a little bit slow this morning. It has to wake up in the morning like all of us. But it was like at 526, high 526 yesterday. And so it's only dropping about a half a foot or foot a day or so. And it's still going to be in the spillway until it gets below 524. So it's a lot of rain we've got. But it's looking like this afternoon, the rain's going to kind of go out. Then tomorrow's going to be cool still. There is a frost warning tonight for people. Let's see, tomorrow's a high of 58, low of 36. Today's a high of 55, low 33. Sunday's going to be beautiful, though, 67, 54. Then Monday, we're moving into 72 highs, low 48, 43s. But it is going to be some storms rolling in that evening. So if you're going to be doing some stuff outside Sunday afternoon, Saturday in the afternoon, it's going to be a little chilly, but it's going to be pretty. And then Monday morning's going to be your times to do that. Verse of the day. I got a verse of the day and a quote of the day today. How about that?
All right.
Verse of the day today, Psalm 12, 6 through 7. It's one that's not commonly used, but I really like it. the words of the Lord are pure words. Mm. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them. O Lord, thou shalt preserve them for this generation forever. Preserve the words of the Lord forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Quote of the day is Corrie ten Boom. You know Corrie ten Boom? You ever?
I do not.
When a Christian shuns fellowship with other Christians, the devil smiles. While he stops studying the Bible, the devil laughs. But when the Christian stops praying, the devil shouts for joy.
Yes.
Good quote. I liked last night when I got it. Guest today from 8 o'clock to 8:30, Pastor Tim Turner from Christ Community Church there in West Paducah. Their church was the one devastated by the tornado on April the 2nd, I do believe it was. And just some amazing testimonies have happened since then. I want to get him on there and just share how the Lord's moving in the midst of what we would consider tragic situations. Or, you know, I've seen he has posted how many times the community around them's come together and helping them. And so I just can't wait to hear the testimony of what the Lord's done through all
Amen.
This and what the enemy meant for evil. God has surely turned it around for his good. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever met Pastor Tim? I know.
I have talked to him a few times because I know he pastored down there at the Church of God there
for
in Litchfield.
For a while.
and then I used to talk to him a little bit. He gave me some guidance and different things as when I was pastoring down there and some good ideas. And so I appreciate him. Appreciate him speaking with me at the times I'd called. And I really like him.
He's a great pastor, great man of God. And so it's going to be a great conversation there at 8 to 8:30. Then, of course, Brother Bjork with the science department from 8:30 to 9 with him and Jason. Next week, got some incredible guests coming up, too. As I said, Miss Debbie will be on with us Monday morning. Brother Lance Johnson will be with us Tuesday. Pastor Caleb from Faith Dreams is going to come on Wednesday and chat a little bit. I know they're God's doing some awesome things, but they've also had a lot of some adversity themselves come on with some pipes and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they've got a lot of repairs going on as there well. And then Thursday, a pastor from Horse Cave area. He pastors the church called The Way. Mm-hmm. That's a great little church down there. Mm-hmm. And his name is Pastor Paul Gritter. And so he's going to be on with us. Can't wait for that. And then next Friday, we've got Mark East. And Mark is the guy who actually founded the church that Pastor Alonzo and Miss Deanna's down there.
Wow.
In Iglesia Refuge. And so he's the one that founded that church and oversees it still. And him and his family, his wife, Angela, and his daughter, Michaela, they've been traveling to different nations, Dominican Republic and Republic. I think they were just in Puerto Rico recently. They're doing prayer summits around the nations.
That's great.
And they're going and then really assembling the people to pray. And so we're going to chat a little bit about that. And Brother Lance has got some crusades coming up here we're going to talk about. He's getting ready to go back to a nation. I don't know what information I'm supposed to give or not, but they're on their way to there. A lot of times in these nations, if you can rent the buses, you can get them filled.
Uh-huh.
And you bring them out to the field. So their heartbeat is to bring 1 million people out to the field.
Right.
And right now they've got enough raised to bus in about 500,000 people.
Wow.
So they're about $150,000 short. And so he's praying that. I know he's praying for that to come in. But preaching the gospel to 1 million people in a Muslim nation, that's a big deal.
Amen.
And people say, well, it's all about the numbers. No, we're talking about 1 million souls in a Muslim mm-hmm. nation's not going to hear the gospel any other way.
That's
so
right.
This ain't about just trying to shout to the rooftops, oh, we got 1 million people. It's about 1 million souls getting into the kingdom and hearing the gospel. So we're going to chat a little bit more about that next Tuesday. So some great guests coming up, but we got a great broadcast this morning ahead of us. But enough of my introductions. Brother Rick, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, I was thinking that as you were saying that about the 1 million Muslims, I don't know that our nation understands what it's like to be under the rule of one religion that is very forceful and can be violent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not supposed to be. If you read the original stuff that they have, that they're not supposed to be that way. But they are very hard on their people. And you think about like this, you know, where the Bible talks about the violent takes it by force. I believe when you got the good news out there and you let a little bit of light begin to come in, all of a sudden you have all those people who's wanting freedom is going to suck right in that vacuum and come right through. And that's what I see in this revival, that they're just going to come right through to the truth because they're desiring it more than what they're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can just see many souls saved. And it gives me joy in my heart knowing that this opportunity has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, this is dangerous for him, Brother Lance, as well, because, you know, that nation hates him. As far as him bringing the gospel in there. So he's taking a chance even with his own life to bring the gospel of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And but he's willing to step out by faith, knowing that God is able to take care of him and to touch him. I was thinking about some of my Bible study this morning, some of the things that I was reading, and it was talking about how David, you know, David looked to the Lord, and his confidence, David's confidence was always in the Lord. Mm-hmm. He wasn't, his confidence when he said, I took on the bear and the lion, he didn't say, I did it on my own. No, the Lord gave him into my hands,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so David knew throughout his military training and everything he had, those was not his might. His might and his power and his confidence came from the Lord. Over in Psalms 18, David starts talking about, says, let me see here. First he says in 28, he says, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. And as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my path like hinds' feet and setteth me upon a high place. You see, God is not just somebody you call on when you need him. He's somebody that you call on him all the time because we do need him. We need him all the time, even in the good times. You were talking about the rain this morning, and we need him in this rain. We need him when the sun comes out. You know, we could look at it two different ways here. We can have rain, and we know that this rain is it can be damaging, but at the same time, so can drought. And so we learn to trust God and believe God no matter whether we're in rain or whether we're in drought. He's still our shield and our buckler who takes care of us.
Amen. 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 Miss Hannah, how are you?
I'm good. Soaking in all this. I love that you were in David. We talked about the other day on the radio quite a bit, David and Goliath, and that I feel like the Lord's had that just on my mind lately about exactly what you were saying about how, you know, we can't lose that awe and wonder of the Lord, and that it's not us. Anything that we do is not our strength. It's
right.
His strength. And when we start
Amen.
To think that it is our strength, that's when we start to fear these other things. So,
Amen.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We had talked about a lot of this all the way through 21 through 25. We've actually discussed this Wednesday, talking about tongues and talking about prophecy and talking about all these kind of things. So I'm just going to read these verses because we didn't read them, but we've talked about them. So we're just going to kind of read them, and then we're going to go on to verse 26.
What was that again, the chapter?
14.
Yeah.
And the law is written by people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners. I will speak to this people, and even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Thus tongues are a sign not for believers but for unbelievers, while prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers but for believers. If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues, and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say you are out of your mind? And Paul's talking about without an interpretation, that they're just talking. And again, he talks about foreigners, and we've discussed this quite a bit. But if all prophecy an unbeliever for or an outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all because the secrets of his hearts are disclosed. And so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. So we did a lot of talk on this. I mean, we've actually been in this for like 4 days. So I'm going to kind of move on from tongues and prophecy, and we're going to go into verse 26. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn. Each one has a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for the what? Building up. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two or at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in the church and speak to himself and to God. Again, this is going back to what we've been talking about, that there's a time for tongues and there's a time not for tongues, and that there is a certain one thing that we always say about tongues that I don't think Paul's even I think Paul is even crushing here, is that tongues are per se uncontrollable, like they're just erratic and you don't know when they're going to come out. And I feel like Paul's actually saying something different here all throughout mm-hmm. here, because he's like, if you don't have an interpretation, then it's better for you to remain silent. Because
he puts it in the list with the others.
Yeah. And if there is a tongue interpretation, then he's saying do it in order from one, two, three.
Do teaching the same way. Do prophecy. He's putting it in a list with the teaching and the Psalms.
Yeah. And I think what he's doing here is, again, he's just establishing order and decency. He's not crushing the moving of the Holy Spirit. And you can say, well, what about the spontaneous move of the Holy Spirit? There's room for spontaneity, but you know, even in the modern day church culture, we say, well, now's like we plan out the spontaneous worship times. Like, it's like, all right, here's where we're going to do real worship. And then in the last, let's just really break into spontaneous worship there. Like, we're not even thinking about it, but we're still doing what Paul's actually kind of, we're giving room for the moving of the Holy Spirit. So I'm actually like, I want to be careful because I think there's room for it to say like, all right, like let's make room here in this worship service for if the Lord wants to lead us into a new song, we're sensitive to that. Mm-hmm. Like we're making room for it. And I don't think that belittles that. I think it's just saying, hey, we're going to make, because we've all been in those, well, okay, I've been in those services to where it's chaos. Like, it's just chaos, and nobody's really edified. And well, I mean, everybody's probably, you may come out with something, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's been, you're kind of going, leaving it, and you're going, that was completely, like, I've been in services where it's like, that was absolutely amazing, and a lot of things spontaneous broke out.
Right.
But I've also been in them where I'm like, that was nuts.
Yeah.
Like Heather, there was 15,000 people give a word. And at that point, you can think, well, the Lord's really speaking. Well, like, I get that. But also, what's more profitable? Three words that we can take and glean from and grow in, or 15 words that we won't remember them because there was so much?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, I feel like the words that God gives might not be for the whole group. It might be for one. You know, he might send a person to one person rather than the whole group. So I think it's using that discernment too, because someone might have a word from the Lord that's not meant to be shared with a whole congregation. It might be meant to be shared somewhere else. But he's just giving it during that time because the Spirit's moving.
Yeah.
So it's having that discernment of knowing what to do with it.
Wisdom is part of what is a big thing that Paul's talking about here. You know, sometimes we get caught up in praise, we get caught up in worship, and there's a zeal there to do more for the Lord, or to be in the Lord, and then without thinking or without using wisdom, we'll do something other, and we'll say something other, or we will prophesy something other, maybe that God doesn't want us to. You know, when we're preaching, There are things that comes to ministers while they're preaching. There is knowledge that may come to them that's only given to them through the Holy Ghost. And there's things that hits them that while we're preaching and we're giving out the word that God gives us, I mean, it hits us, this thing hits us, you know, and, but it's for us. And we have to use wisdom to say, I'm not going to say that because I know God doesn't want me to say that. He's just showing me. Mm-hmm. He's given me insight. So every thought that we have or everything that encourages is not always meant, I believe, that Paul is talking about here, to say, but because it could cause confusion. And God's not about confusion, and he's not about everybody running around speaking in tongues. I don't have to speak in tongues because you do. Just because you got excited and you started speaking in tongues don't mean that everybody in the church has to go around and start practicing mm-hmm. now. What it means is that while we're there, we worship God in with a pure and a true heart. And if he gives us a word, let us trust in that word. Paul's talking about, you know, a lot here in 13, when you went back to the first part of it, you know, about speaking a known word instead of an unknown word. People don't like that. I'd rather speak something other so I look spiritual. You're not supposed to look spiritual. You're supposed to be spiritual. Yeah. And you do that by wisdom. That's just some of my mm-hmm. thought on that. Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah,
true.
That's and, what we've been... Go ahead.
And Paul said he did both.
Yeah.
He said, I pray in the spirit. I pray with understanding. I sing in the spirit. I sing yeah. with... He said he did both.
Yeah. And I think Paul's just laying it out, but he said, but in church,
mm-hmm.
he said, in church, mm-hmm. this is the way it should be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a difference in the way it's done at your home when it's just you and the Lord
yep.
and when it's done mm-hmm. in church. And I, you know, I think Paul's really laying that out there. And he even goes on verse 29 and 30, if let two or three prophets speak. So again, he's saying just two or three, like
two or three.
And then let the others weigh what it is said. Like, you know, it's like make sure the other prophets are weighing. So
yeah.
everybody who's operating the prophetic, they may not be the one speaking every service, but they're called to weigh it out. Mm-hmm. And there's supposed to be a consensus and like, okay, yeah, like that's really a witness. That's really a word. And what if the church in the modern day context really operated like this, like in a church for those who operate in the prophetic, if a person came up there and said, the Lord says this, then after service, the prophetic people would get together. All right, was that a word from the Lord? And then they confirm it or reject it. And the next week, the leader gets back up there and they say, hey, look, this word was given last week. There was some praying into it. We feel like it was a word of the Lord and we should really pursue it. Or the ones with the prophetic gift, they really said, we just don't think that was it. We don't sure. think that was right.
Yeah.
Like, how much more profitable and edifying would our words be at that point?
That's right.
It would look different. And that's the thing, like, the American church, the Westernized church especially, we've kind of built our own system.
Uh-huh.
And we've kind of done things our way. I think really what we've done a lot, and it's not to pick, is just to say, like, I think we've run off experience and emotion a whole lot.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily like we're doing atrocious, evil things.
Right.
But I think we've left Scripture at yeah. times. And we've made Scripture fit into our experience. But yeah. our experience has to fit into Scripture.
Yeah.
And really, a lot of people's like, well, they're just trying to control me. They're just, no, I think we're trying to keep the purity and the holiness and the integrity of the church.
That's
and
right.
So I think it would be a phenomenal thing if somebody come up and said, I feel like the Lord spoke this, and then throughout the week the ones with that prophetic gifting are seeking the Lord to confirm or reject that word.
Right.
And the next week that word is confirmed or rejected in the service, like right before preaching or something. Hey, this word was given last week. And at that point too, though, you'd have to have somebody that's recording this so it can be And I think that's the level of seriousness and weightiness we should give to prophetic words and revelation. And because he goes on even in verse 20 to talk about If revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. Something like if correction or revelation or something to that regard, for you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and become, all be encouraged, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the what?
Prophets.
For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. That's a big verse. And I think it's just a, I think what you're doing there is you're not being controlling or dictating. You are protecting and leading. Because the last thing we want is false words going out. The last thing we want is false prophecies. And the last thing we need is every service we're getting 15 new prophecies and none of them are coming about. Because we're just word hungry.
You know, I think about, I got a friend of mine who, they're very much into the prophetic, and I believe in working in the prophetic and things like that. But at the same time, I know God gives us spoken word, and I try to use wisdom when I listen to people. And if you remember back in 2020, when the election was getting ready to happen then, there was a lot of prophetic that went out there that who is going to win and who is not going to win in the elections. And people don't understand how our government works and how things happen. I know how God works, or I'm trying to understand how God works more and more all the time in my life, because I don't understand everything. But I do know that after 2 or 3 months of a man being in office, God's just not going to take him out and put your man in. And that's what some of them were saying, you know, because they were taking the prophetic out of what was really supposed to happen. So like you're saying, when we look at prophetic, people is going to bring prophetic into the church. And they're going to speak a lot of things that maybe God's not saying. It's their own ideas and it's their own emotions. It might be who they think is supposed to be pastor. It might be who on a building program. It might be on something else. But it's like you said, I think you have to have, you have to get people who are spiritually connected to God, who are prophetic, know how to work in a prophetic, to weigh these things out and to look at them, because people... at that time, I know, was running crazy thinking that something other was going to overturn. Well, in our process of being the nation that we are, I'm trying to think the word, you don't change after somebody's went in office. It just doesn't happen. Otherwise, it would fall apart. Our democracy would fall apart. So in order for a democracy to happen, you have to follow the rules that's already in there. If it would have happened beforehand, that would have been one thing. Afterhand, it's too late. And the same thing goes, you know, you have to be, you know, you can't go around steering people up and trying to make people think, well, this is going to change because I just had a dream. God showed me in a dream these things were going to change and all of this and that. We got to be careful what we tell people about a dream in the prophetic. We got to be careful because we got to take ourselves out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing. That's what I was talking about David a while ago. David took himself out of the equation and said, God, it's not me and it's not my strength. It's yours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what the prophetic is all about. Take yourself out of the equation. And if it don't add up, it's not God.
Yeah. I think we have to, I think when we've taken ourselves out of it, I think it's very important to take it with the weightiness and the heaviness it deserves. And I think we're quick to say stuff. It just pops in our head. We're just not filtering it. We're not praying about it. We just think, oh, it's in my head. It's coming out of my mouth. And I'm like, that's not wise. Trust me. There's a lot of stuff that goes in my head. It shouldn't come out of my mouth. And it's not just, and you can say, well, I'm not cussing in my head. No, but there might be some other things that you just don't need to say, because some of the things that we don't need to say appears to be good things.
Yeah.
But they're not.
Yeah.
So we're going to do our first trivia question, hit a break, and then we'll come back here with Kingdom Corner. And then we have one Bible question I've got on the docket, and then we'll see where the Lord takes us. A crown of, we've tried that one several times. Nobody's answered it. So a crown of thorns was put on Jesus' head. What was put in his hand? It was a reed. Matthew 27:29. So we're going to go on from that one. We just had that many times. But Thursday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. Who said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace? Who said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace? 270-257-2689. We will be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio, on the Box 2 Radio. All right, we are back here on this beautiful morning. I'm going to call it beautiful. Rick said, told me to call it beautiful, so I'm going to call it beautiful. It's a blessing. More rain, and more rain. And then we have more rain coming in next week, later in the week. And then we got more rain Monday. There's a blessing here. There's a blessing.
You know, if we didn't drive, if we didn't have vehicles, which I'm very thankful for vehicles, but I was just thinking how it would be so different. Like canoeing through the water or however, swimming through it.
Yesterday afternoon, I had just really, it was probably like 4:15, 4:30, and Heather had just got home, and I was, I just sat down, and I get a call and said, Miss Randy said, the door flew off the hinges because we had this powerful wind just come out of nowhere. Like as soon as Heather walked through the door, I bet it was every bit a 60-mile wind.
Wow.
And it was sustained. Like, it wasn't gust. It was just blowing. And our front door of the church actually got ripped off, picked up off the – and that door is heavy. It's a heavy door.
Yeah.
It got picked up off the hinges and flew off. And Randy's just sitting there holding it with all – she's just and I'm like flying. So if you saw me flying down our road handle, that's what it was yesterday.
I was
booking
the door
it.
Of the sanctuary.
Yes, and so
and Randy just happened to be out there.
Miss Australian Randy was out there, and it just flew off
and
didn't shatter. Like the handle, the bar at the top kept it on.
Uh-huh.
If it wasn't for that bar at the top, we wouldn't have a door right now.
Wow.
But it was just like that wind took it, and I mean it was. And then I tried to get it back on, and I couldn't, so I got to call Pastor Tim. I mean, Brother Tim. And so me, Tim, Kendall, and Randy all together, we got it back on. But it took all four of us. I mean, it was – those doors are stout.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And we finally got it fixed. But it was a it was something. I've never seen – I didn't know wind would even pick that door up off the hinges like that.
That is amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. It was something. We still don't know what happened, like how it happened, but – I was just glad Randy was there. Those doors are expensive. but it was hard wind at that. It had to be every bit of 60 miles per hour. I mean, it was gusting. And it did that for probably a good 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I thought there was
That's
a tornado.
That's crazy.
But then the rain came and it really got cold.
This has to all be prophetic. The doors are just going to blow open. The spirit of the Lord is rushing in like a mighty wind. I don't know. That's crazy.
Yep. You know, I see the you was talking about the beauty, and I know Hannah's getting ready to do her part here, but, you know, I see these trees blooming, flowers blooming, everything's blooming. Of course, that's up on hills. It's not down in the valleys. But that's what I think about when I see the rain, because I know when the rain is doing it and I see the trees are budding out and the flowers are blooming and everything like that, there is beauty. Even in the desert, there's flowers in the desert.
Amen.
All right, Hannah. Amen. I'm waiting for those flowers to come.
Oh, man. It'll be a lot to mow once.
Oh, we had two already.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm in Psalm 37, and I'm starting in verse 4. Very familiar verse here, and then I'm going to keep reading on. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. So there's a lot here, but, and of course, the delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. We know that to be true. It reminds me of Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and he will basically provide all of our needs. All of these things will be added unto you. And before that, he's talking about all the things that we're worried about and anxious about, how those can't add any more time to our life. So why waste time on being anxious when he's our provider? So that's what that psalm reminds me of in the New Testament. And that those desires of your heart, I do believe that are his desires. It's when our desires become his desires. But what really stuck out to me when reading this psalm this time was after he talks about being still, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him, that word fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. And in those, the word fret is meaning anxious. It's meaning the same thing that chapter in Matthew is saying about being anxious about those things that we're lacking. And so it's kind of a different thing being pointed out in this psalm that I normally look at. But I believe that the Lord was trying to speak to me about, even here, you know, wait patiently for the Lord, be still before the Lord, and do not be anxious, because that's, I just looked up the definition of fret because it was sticking out to me, but do not be anxious and so worried about the ones, the people around you, the ones who are prospering in their way, over the man who carries out evil devices. For the evil ones will be cut off, the ones who are doing evil, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. So he's going on to talk about inheritance and blessing that's going to come from those who wait upon the Lord and who put their trust in the Lord. So I think what the Lord was speaking to me through this is about the mindset of lack.
Yeah.
And the mindset of anxiousness goes right along with that lack mindset, that poverty mindset.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that we're never going to be, I don't believe that this means that we're always going to have an overflow of finances at all times, that we're just going to be rolling in the money. But I believe that it's more spiritual and our needs being provided.
Amen.
At all of our needs being provided. And sometimes we think about those needs as, you know, those basic needs, like in Matthew 6:33, of clothing and food and those things that we need to survive. But in here, I think it's kind of pointing out the spiritual aspect of it, of don't fret at your enemies. Because this is really talking, the ones who are doing evil really are technically our enemies, because, I mean, we're children of the light. So children of the darkness would be, they'd be serving our true enemy. But I believe that even here, you know, it kind of goes along with the David conversation of be still before the Lord, wait patiently for him. To be able to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him, we have to trust him.
Amen.
And we have to know that no matter what is going on around us, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what things are happening, no matter how we feel about the ones that are doing evil around us, the ones that are, you know, we see all of their issues and the evil, and it makes us, you know, righteously angry. But the Lord is saying, be still, that he is going to act upon it, because we can trust in his promises of his word, that there's a cause and effect. If we trust in him, if we wait patiently for him, then we know that he's going to give us peace. Those that wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. So he's given us the land that our enemies are possessing if we trust in him, if we wait on him, if we don't try to go and fix it ourselves. That's the thing, is if we rush him, get ahead of him, we might not win that battle that it's already planned out to be won, and the land is already ours. So we're kind of jeopardizing the inheritance that he has for us if we don't wait for him.
Amen.
We don't trust in him. We don't let those anxieties, let him deal with them. Because I do believe that there's a type of fretting or anxiety that causes us to back up and recluse. But I think there's also an anxiety that people don't really think about that pushes us to do things we shouldn't do, mm-hmm. or pushes us in a to act impulsively because we are not trusting the Lord. Yeah. I think people, when they think about being anxious, they think about one type of anxious, of somebody who's afraid to speak and just, you know, is a reclusing in their shell. But I believe that there's a type of anxiousness that, you know, it's not affecting your ability to move and to do things. It's affecting your trust with the Lord. So it might actually push you to disobey or to rush the Lord and miss out on what he has for us. Amen. And so I think that that's what he's pointing out to me here with the inheritance. And then it goes on to say, you know, the wicked, they will be no more. So don't fret. Don't worry about what they're doing right now, because we know what their end is, and we should pray that their end would not be destruction. But Amen. We know that the meek will inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. And I believe Jesus is that abundant peace. Amen. And our eternity with him is what creates that abundant peace. Because Amen. No matter what we're going through right now, you know, what is that scripture? It doesn't even compare to the glory that awaits us.
Yes.
I cannot think of where that scripture's at. But
you right now, yeah.
But nothing that we're going through right now, and even the good things that we have right now, doesn't even compare to the glory that awaits us. And I think that's where we have to anchor ourselves in, mm-hmm. when we're seeing the wickedness around us in the world, we're seeing the victories that seem like victories of the enemy. And we can even think about things like the LGBTQ right now. We can think about the abortion, the huge, huge issue of abortion. But guess what? We've seen the Lord overturn things. We've seen the Lord move upon it. Even though it took time, we had to wait upon the Lord. We really majorly had to wait upon the Lord for this abortion issue, because it's been many, many years before anything seemed to really be breaking through. But the Lord was working behind the scenes, and I believe he will continue to work, and we will see that land that has been, you know, stolen will be even more. We will gain possession over it, and there will be major breakthrough, but we have to wait patiently on the Lord. So
Amen. Amen. You know, we were talking this morning before we began the broadcast this morning. Brother Tim was talking about raining on the just and on the mm-hmm. on the unjust. You know, kind of goes along with what you were saying there.
And back to the rain.
back to the rain, because it's out there. you know, we think sometimes, because as church people, we see people who are not serving God sometimes getting wealth, mm-hmm. fame, that it seems like they just keep pouring in on money and all these different things. And sometimes people can get envious of them, or they can look at that and say, well, God, it's raining on me over here, but it seems like they're sure being blessed over there. Well, that's not how God is wanting us to look at that, because our blessing is not of this world. Mm. It's out of this world. And yes, we can receive finances. We can receive good things here. But our mind should not be on that. It should be on the glory of the Lord. Those people over there are not happy. You look at how many people who have been movie stars and billionaires and millionaires that have taken their own lives because they're not happy. Even with all that money they have, they're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
They can't find love. They can't find joy. They can't find peace. And that's what we have. You know, as Christians, we have those things. And so we need to desire that more than just looking at saying, you know, I want that money. I need a bigger house. I need a bigger car. I need this. I need that. No, God knows our needs. We don't know our needs. We think we know our needs, but we don't know our needs. God does.
Amen. Because he sees the end, the end game.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, all righty. Let's do this. there was an interesting thing that I've come across lately, and I always, you know, we've talked about this quite a bit, like apologetics. Uh-huh. People, we love apologetics, and we've talked about it several times. And, you know, I've come across this one guy who does a phenomenal job with a lot of different things. His name's Wesley Huff. A lot of people told me to check him out several times, and I just, schedule-wise, I never have. But I've been listening to him a little bit more lately on the mower, uh-huh. Or just when I'm out and about or whatever like that. And it's one of the reasons I like mowing is I get a lot of opportunity to actually listen to stuff. And he does some really good stuff. But he did one and on the Nicene Council of Nicene, and how what that really consisted of in the 325 and how Constantine was blamed for it and all this. But it was very enlightening. And I'm going to share a link sometime, somehow, on the Facebook, just an article he wrote on it back in 2020. But he's actually doing a video on it soon from Canada, apologetics soon. He was on with Mike Winger from the Bible Thinker not too long ago talking about this as well. It was really interesting. And they were covering just, you know, like we said the same thing, like everybody thinks really from the Da Vinci Code. It really is in modern day context, it's from the Da Vinci Code. Now, Da Vinci Code, Brown, he got from somewhere else. But uh-huh. Da Vinci Code's what makes a lot of people today think of it. The Nicene Council did not make the Bible, all right? That just needs to be clarified. That's what Da Vinci Code wants you to believe, and that Constantine put them together. The scripture was already together before the Nicene Council, and a lot of people blame Constantine for a lot of things. And Constantine wasn't, like, great. I mean, he wasn't. He did get baptized before his death and all these kind of things, of course. But, like, he just kind of started the council. He wasn't even out the council. And what the councils was back then was a lot of times churches would gather councils together and they would find and fix doctrine and they would fix heresy and they would try to before the only church that was there was what we would call the Catholic Church. It was the only church. It was being universal. That's what Catholic actually meant. Then it became Roman Catholicism, and that's where a lot of tradition, a lot of man-made stuff entered the pie. But before that, it was just considered the Holy Catholic Church. So if you read the Apostles' Creed, and it says one Holy Catholic Church, it's not talking about the Roman Catholic Church. That's talking about the universal church. So, like, for those out there interested in apologetics, I have found him to be really good, and he's really solid, incredibly smart, but also seemingly spiritually discerning in a lot of areas. If you never listened to Mike Winger, you probably like him as well out there. He's a great Bible teacher as well. But I'm gonna share the link to the Council of Nicene, and you know, I don't know. For those who've never read the Nicene Creed, the Council of Nicene actually really, it dealt a lot with the Trinity, to be honest with you. That was the predominant thing it actually dealt with. And I may share the creed as well as that link for those who are interested. I'm always trying to keep people up to date and apprised to resources and tools that they can use to help them, you know. There was a time in the church not too long ago, like in America, and it's still there, but it's not as rapid as it was. Like, this is more church people in the church, not outside the church. So it'd be more polemics, not apologetics, but it's more along the lines of, like, the only words we have to listen to is the red words, not the rest of it. And I'm like, no, we got the whole scripture. All scripture is God breathed. Yeah. All scripture is important. And that kind of stuff is what you just got to defend against. And they're always going to come about. But the Nicene Creed is really good. Can I read it? Like, would y'all care if I just read it?
I don't bother. Yeah.
Hannah, have you ever read it before?
Mm-mm.
I think the Apostles' Creed's really good, too. There's one part of the Apostle Creed that I'm just a little iffy about, but I think it's really good. But the Nicene Creed, this is what come out of that council. And again, they were using Scripture as if it was already scripture. There was never a talk about what books belong and don't belong. And even the concept of worshiping on Sunday was not developed in them, because developing that goes back to the New Testament where they were gathered on the first day of the week. So it says, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of lights, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures. Again, they're alluding to scriptures if they're scripture. And ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who is with the Father and the Son together and is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. It doesn't really seem like there's anything about making anybody worship on a certain day or making it. And it wasn't even about like Constantine saying, you're going to worship this way. And that was actually a misconception I had. Right. And they fixed it too. That was the one misconception they really fixed in my own heart was I always thought it was when Constantine instituted Christianity as the state religion. Mm-hmm. It's not. He just says we're going to stop killing people who like it. Right. That's basically what he said. Like we're not going to hurt them no more. And it.
Well, amen.
And
thank
so,
you, Jesus.
But I do think this is one thing that's lost in the modern church culture is the creeds and the history. Like we think about things today as if they're no big deal. But the only reason we can grasp this in the church and we have teaching in it is because 2,000 years men have taught it.
Amen.
Men have gathered together and sought hard. And
gave their whole life, risked their whole life.
And I think when we negate the creeds and we don't, I'm not talking about memorizing them or anything like that, but I think when we negate them, never even take time to read them or study them at all, I think we're almost belittling part of the church history that is so sacred and necessary.
Yeah.
Like, think if men did not gather in 325 and deal with these misconceptional modalism and some of these other heresies of Arianism and stuff like that, like, where will we be at today?
Yeah.
We have no idea. And so I just feel like in my own heart, I've been kind of looking at I've always loved the Apostle Creed. I was looking more at this than I was listening to that podcast between Mike Winger and Wesley Huff and that article I'm going to try to share. I'll try to share as much as I can, but people's always asking for tools and resources to be able to talk and defend things. And
right.
So I think it's wonderful resources.
Amen.
I think Mike Winger, I don't know if I would consider him. Would you consider him like an apologist?
He's more apologetics? A Bible. He's just a Bible teacher, but he has a.
But I feel like he does.
He can do apologetics very well.
He gives good tools for that because when he answers a bunch of questions, like he'll have people email him questions and he'll answer them. And he doesn't really, I don't think he gives a whole lot of opinion. I think he tries to give tools because his whole thing is, he will say in the beginning, my goal is to get us to think biblically about everything.
Right.
Yep.
So every single thing, my goal is that we will think biblically about
biblically.
It.
That's good.
So I'm going to try to give you as much scripture and tools for you to make for you to come to the conclusion that the Lord's showing you based on what the Bible is saying.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, this is how it,
So where is that site going to be at?
I'll put it on Facebook.
Okay.
And I'll share it. It's a really good article.
Okay.
It's a really good one.
I did have a listener say
sure.
Did you have a listener say
well, we
something
just got, too? We're about break time.
Oh. Do you want me to wait until after we come back? Because we're at the hard break.
We got Tim coming on. What's the question? Maybe we can say something real
quick. Well, it wasn't a question. It was just a statement.
Oh, sure.
So,
go for it.
The Roman Catholic version of that is a little different, interesting. Not much, but you can definitely tell they're indoctrinating Catholicism in it.
Yeah. Well, that's the original Nicene Creed. So maybe the creed could have been perverted by a certain church over time, but from what I can understand, that's the original Nicene Creed, and of course the Apostles' Creed's really good. And there's other creeds too the church developed. And
so I guess maybe it's
just
been
to defend against heresy.
Some
that's what
versions.
They were doing. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. Second trivia question of the day: Who partook of a meal prepared by an angel, and was sustained 40 days and nights in the mountain? All right, we are back here on this beautiful day in the neighborhood, April the 11th, 2025. Got an answer for that trivia question: who partook of a meal prepared by an angel and was sustained 40 days and 40 nights While in the mountains, it was Elijah. Miss Brenda Sims got that correct, so her name gets in for that drawing. Well, on the phone with us, we have with us this morning Pastor Tim Turner from Christ Community Church there in West Paducah. Pastor Tim, how are you doing, sir?
Good morning. We're doing well. How are you today?
We are doing great. And I got Miss Hannah in the room, too, so you may hear her voice a little bit, too, Pastor Tim. But thank you so much for coming in with us. April the 2nd, you all had a devastating event happen there. You just remodeled a gym into a sanctuary, and a tornado did not pay you all a good visit.
You're right. We had moved over into the gym during COVID. We grew, our church grew, and we outgrew our old sanctuary. So we moved over into the gym, and we spent 5 years remodeling that. And, Pastor, it's funny, but now I look back on it. On Monday, I had talked to some people, and I said, we can now slow down. We finally have it beautiful. And on Wednesday, it was gone.
Wow.
So quite a unique situation.
Yeah. Now, you all, now tell us how this happened, because I know that really you all would be in the service usually, or at least some people lingering around when this tornado would hit. But you had, you really felt led not to have service that night.
We had watched all the radio models and how that they had talked about. At one time, one station said Paducah was going to get hit harder than any other area in the United States. So CNN was here, the Weather Channel was here, NBC was here, a bunch of people were here. And we just thought, you know, I now look back on it and know it was an act of God, but I didn't realize this, Pastor Aaron, until a CNN reporter asked me, do you commonly cancel services during like spring, summer, and fall? And I said, I hadn't even thought about it. I said, no, we actually haven't. We cancel in the winter due to ice and snow, but we had never canceled a spring or summer event, a church service. And in my 35 years, I shared this with several outlets, but in 35 years, we had never canceled one due to a storm. And it hit about 8:20 that night, and we normally get out of service a little after 8, and then as church people do, we linger. And there would have been several people still at the church. Matter of fact, this past Wednesday night, my wife, when we left the church, my wife looked at me and said, look what time it is. And it was 8:35. And we were just now leaving the church. And so we know that there would have been people there. And Brother Aaron, I have said this, people who have been on our property, the Weather Channel agreed with me. Everybody agreed. Nobody would have survived that. It's 18-foot walls, and they all came in. And it wouldn't have been survivable. So we just believe it was a God thing that we didn't have service, and we're just praising God no one is hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. And I know one thing I've loved to see, and I've been tracking along on your Facebook and just kind of keeping up to date what's going on. I know you all went into the old sanctuary, prepared that for the service. But to see the amount, and I've seen your posts and everything, to see the amount the community has rallied around you all has been pretty inspiring.
It's really overwhelming. I think in a crisis, you really understand the love of God probably more than any other situation. I have literally gotten calls from California to New York and everybody in between. I got a call from Mexico. I got a call from the Canadian border. I got a message from Nigeria. I've got messages from Mexico or from Africa, different parts of Africa. And it's just overwhelming at the love and the calls we're getting. And I got to give you a quick praise report. We're not only getting calls of people praying for us. We have one of the ladies in our church alluded to the fact that we have had a dozen people in our church heal from cancer. And this morning, just before I talked to you, a lady from Fort Wayne, Indiana called me, and her sister is dying with cancer. And so she called with a prayer request. So we're getting calls. I believe all this, every bit of it, is glorifying God. It's just been tremendous.
Amen. Look what the Lord does, huh? That old song,
right.
Look what the Lord can. Yeah. Yes. They don't let me sing here, Pastor Tim. They don't let me sing. They hush me up pretty quick.
I can't sing in my church either. So I understand.
But you sure can play the instruments. And I love to see just out just the messages that's being portrayed, because I think sometimes society tells us when difficulty and adversity happens, we should be more Elijah type, go into the cave and kind of mourn about it and go through this season of processing and unpacking. And of course there's some aspects of that, but really you all have led from that forefront, like, hey, this is a disaster, but we're going to continue to give God praise because he's going to do something amazing out of it. And just keeping that on the forefront of just praise in our lips.
Right. The night, Brother Aaron, the night that I got, I'm the chaplain for the Sheriff's Department. I have to explain that so people understand, but I'm the chaplain for the Sheriff's Department here. So I work with our officers every day. I'm in the office. I ride with them. And I've been doing that for 6 years, and I created a really good friendship. Well, two of them called me. They were sitting under our canopy at the church, and they were texting me back and forth. And then I called the sergeant who was there, and while I was on the phone with him, I told him, I said, I'll give you a code to the key you can get in the buildings for safety. Well, I called him back to see if they'd gotten in, and it was so loud on the phone, and he said, it's on us, it's on us, and then I lost contact. Well, I live 4 miles west of the church, and I knew the storm was moving east. So I was afraid they were injured, so I told my wife, I'm going to jump in the car and run down there. And when I got there, on the way down, someone had called me and told me that the roof of the building was gone. And that hit hard, but I thought, we can rebuild that. And so when I got there, the deputies had gotten an emergency call, and they were gone. But I pulled up in the parking lot thinking the roof was going to be gone. I wasn't sure which building. We helped. There were a few buildings there. And so when I pulled in the parking lot, of course, it was just completely dark because all electricity was off. The rains were blowing hard. It was just a terrible night, and the wind was up. And I pulled in the parking lot, and I had my car beams on high. And when I pulled in and saw the building was gone, it was just a gut punch. I mean, I can't explain it. It was like the blood drained out of my body. We didn't expect that. Nobody expected that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Brother Aaron, one of the things that we have tried to do here, and I've tried to do in leading these people, is that somebody said, you're really strong. And I said, no, what I'm strong to the people. What I really want to do is throw up. Mm-hmm. But what I've tried to lead from, the older I get, the more sentimental I become. And normally I think I would just cry my eyes out. But it's like God has just given us a vision of the future. We're not looking back. We're not mourning. We're just going forward. We're just believing that God has something better for us. And I preached on Sunday morning, and I said, I want the world to know that we still trust God. We still love God. He's still the greatest thing ever happened to us. Our faith has not waned. We just believe that God is the best thing that's ever happened in our life, and he has a plan that we cannot see. We're going forward in power and might, and that's how we're looking at it.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I'm intrigued on some of these testimonies you were talking about, though. I don't mean to leave the subject topic, but you got me on the Holy Ghost now and the working of the Lord. So you've been talking about seeing testimonies of healing from cancer, and I know you all seen some incredible things, soul saved. And so give us a little testimony about what's going on at Christ Community there.
Well, you know, we have people saved, and that is me and my heart, that is the greatest thing that can happen to a person, so we want to see that more than anything. But it's, for some reason, God has chosen our church, it seems like, to bring healing to people who are very in dire sicknesses. It's not just cancer. We've had some other people heal from lung issues and things like that, kidney issues. But we have had, in the last few years, a lot of people healed from cancers. I'll give you a quick testimony. I don't know that our church had much to do with this, except we were praying. But at the first year, my mother was diagnosed with cancer. I'll give you a quick praise report if I have time.
Absolutely.
It's okay. Well, my mother was diagnosed with cancer, and she had breast cancer. Now, my mother is 86 years old. She's a young 86, but she's 86. And she went through a complete mastectomy, left side, and the doctor that did the surgery told us that he got it all. He got the lymph nodes. It was in a lymph node. He got the lymph nodes, and he got all the cancer. He referred us to an oncologist. So I've been driving back and forth. Mom lives close to you all and in that area, and I've been driving back and forth to help take care of her. And we went to an oncologist, and when we got there, the oncologist said that when the doctor did the surgery, it spilled out into her body. That was the words that the oncologist used. I think you've heard the term when somebody has cancer surgery and the air hits it, it kind of spreads in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So they said it had spilled out into her body. Now, the doctor said that it was the fastest, most aggressive time. Then they referred us from an oncologist to a pulmonologist, which is to check her lungs, and they found out she had spots in her lungs. Now, they did tests, and they did scans and all this stuff, and 3 weeks went by without. Now, you've got to keep this in mind. There was no treatment of any kind, no chemo, no radiation, no nothing. And in 3 weeks, we went back to the doctor, and they said, you have no cancer anywhere in your body.
Hallelujah.
And so that's just and our church was praying for her. Now, it may not have been our church, but we've had situations like that in our church. But that just seems to be what God is doing around us. And people are starting to hear that testimony, and they're starting to call us from everywhere for prayer requests. And I just believe God's going to use this time to glorify himself and his kingdom.
He's still moving. Absolutely. He's still able, isn't he?
Right. Absolutely. And we're seeing it. We're seeing the manifestation. This is not just something that we pray for somebody that says they have a headache and then they say it goes away. We're actually seeing doctor's reports of the day healings.
Hallelujah. I love it. It gets me fired up. And I just love to see what the Lord's doing in the faith that's arising in the body of Christ and the trust and the utter dependence upon him for the moving of the Holy Spirit to come and heal, restore, revive, deliver, set free, sanctify, save. He's still doing it. And I know that there's so many churches that are doing what Christ Community is doing there and other churches across the United States and the state that's really burning for the Lord and pursuing the kingdom of God and seeing the Lord come and do amazing things. And I thank God for pastors like yourself and that's had the influence. And how long have you been pastor now, Pastor Tim?
I've been pastoring overall about 35 years, maybe. I've been in this church over 25 years now.
Yeah.
So, hey, Pastor, let me tell you a few weeks ago in the sanctuary that was destroyed, there was a prophetic interpretation given, and God said to us that if you will praise me, I will give you signs, wonders, and miracles. And we have tried to be a people of praise. I preach to our church, giving God no praise is equivalent to giving Satan some praise. Because that's why he fell from heaven. He wanted the praise of God. So I teach him, if you don't praise God, you're giving Satan praise inadvertently, but you're giving him praise. So we try to be purposely praising God all the time. And he has done incredible things in our church.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. And I know he's going to continue to do those great things. And I love to see the testimony of really just arising out of this this really tragic crisis situation and to see the praise that's still on the lip. And it's not just you. You can see your whole church really rallying around and keeping that same mentality. And it's amazing things to see. I watched that one news video of the kids being interviewed. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome to see.
It is unique. Even our young people, we had a little girl in our church. She's probably 7 years old. And she said, Mommy, how much would it cost to rebuild? They came out. All of our people have been in and out of our property since this happened. And she saw the building down. And she said, Mommy, how much would it cost to build our building back? And her mother said, I don't know. And she said, well, I have $500 of birthday money. I'll give to that. What? I want to see our building back up. And that just broke our heart, you know, to hear that out of the mouth of babes, the truth of it all. And so, but all of our young people, nobody's crying. It's like, I mean, don't get me wrong. We've had people to walk on the property and cry their eyes out. And my heart's been broken and shattered. It's kind of a paradox. We had a gut punch, but yet we're so excited about what God's going to do in the future. And So we've had, but all everybody is so optimistic. Sunday morning, we went back into our old sanctuary, which we had converted to a youth center, and I preached. We had a packed out house, and we're going to go back to two services there. But anyway, when I was preaching Sunday morning, people, this is the first time in my ministry I think this has happened in our local church. While I was preaching, they would stand and clap and drown me out, and I had to stop and wait for them. They were so excited about the word that was going forth. And I preached a message of hope, you know, that we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. And they stood up and overwhelmed me and drowned me out while I was preaching. I had to wait on them at least three or four times before I could start preaching again. They're just that excited. People are that the Spirit of God has gotten into our people and given us a message of life and hope and not death and despair. And we're so excited about what God's doing.
Yeah. And truly, like, I think sometimes we make the statements of, you know, what the enemy meant for evil, God turned around for good. And we're thinking it's just what's coming in the building. But sometimes the adversity is the very thing that gives birth to the anointing. Mm-hmm. And it awakens something in the people. And I really, absolutely. I mean, it is just, and I know nobody signs up for, like I say that a lot here, like adversity is it's not a sign up sheet in the lobby people's coming out. So when you walk out of the church, if you put an adversity sheet out there, nobody's signing that sheet. I'm in, give me the adversity. But when it happens, when it happens, there's something that's produced and the oil is crushed.
I don't want anybody to misunderstand. It's been very difficult. We worked 5 years converting a gym into a sanctuary. We worked hard, blood, sweat, and tears. We've absolutely had it beautiful. I'll send you some pictures later on, personal pictures, Pastor, and show you what we had done. And it was absolutely beautiful. It was big. It was large. We needed the room. And just we had worked so hard. We had all new camera system, all new equipment, PA equipment, state-of-the-art stuff. And we had worked so hard. Now, it was hard. I mean, I'm kind of like that guy that said, if I'm going to die, I want to die in the morning. I don't want to work all day and then die. It's kind of how we feel about our church. I wish this happened before we put all that hard work into it. But you know, so it's been hard on that respect, but it's just a building. Mm-hmm. Nobody was hurt. And we come out of it praising God, knowing that we're going to have a great future. So it's been hard in one respect, but we're moving forward with joy.
Yeah. So if somebody's listening out there and said, I want to help somehow, how can they help?
Well, right now we're kind of in limbo. We can't do anything until the insurance company has evaluated. We've had two adjusters on our property. We have one more, and we think it's going to be a couple of weeks before we can do anything. So manpower is not a problem right now. We're believing, I'm assuming that the insurance company is going to pay for the demolition, what's left of it, and hauling it off. So right now, I really don't know how anybody could help, you know. We're just kind of waiting to see what they do with the insurance company does with us. And, yes, we were insured. It's going to take a while. And I told somebody jokingly, I have a lot of humor, and I jokingly said I'd rather have surgery than deal with the insurance company. Now, I don't mean that in any way. But that's how bad I dread dealing with this going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Lord will be with you all every step of the way. And if there is any time, any way we could ever help, just let us know. And we definitely will do what we can. I know there's a lot of our listeners that are eager to help in situations like that. And I know the servant's heart, Jesus was that perfect example.
I do want to tell this. If anybody wants to call us or mail us a prayer request, we are willing to receive it and pray for them. Somehow in the middle of all this, we know God is going to do some extraordinary things. And it may just be that he starts a healing crusade across the country. I don't know. But we believe God's going to do something great through all this. So if somebody has cancer and wants to be prayed for, we'll pray for them.
Amen.
Yeah. Well,
how can they get those prayer requests to you guys?
Absolutely.
Well, they can mail it to us, or they can call, and I'll give you them both numbers. The mailing address is P.O. Box 178, West Paducah, Kentucky, 42086. Or they can call call the church office, which has no phone now, but that comes to my phone number. And if nobody's in the office, it comes to me, which is 270-744-0397. Or they can call me directly at 270-994-4494. And I took that prayer request this morning. We're going to take it to our church body and pray over it. So we'll Amen. Be glad to pray for anybody that needs anything.
Yeah. Well, you can add my sister to that prayer request. I don't know if you've seen on Facebook or not, but she was diagnosed with breast cancer a few weeks ago, so her surgery's coming up soon. But we're believing God.
I did see that, and it broke my heart, you know, Blair. And I've watched, and if I can take a personal moment,
absolutely.
I watched you grow up, and I am so proud of you and your church and what you're doing. I always knew you were a fine young man. You were well-mannered when you were young, and I knew God had good things in store for you, and I'm so proud for you, your church, your radio station, your family, and I'm praying for April today. We're just believing that God is going to touch her. I wish that when sometime, I don't know when, but you all could get to Paducah, we would love to pray with you, and, mm-hmm. and maybe I can drive down there one day and just see her, you know. I love your family. Always have.
Well, we love you tremendously. And I tell people all the time that, you know, I remember I was probably 19 or 20 and preaching a lot around the state, young man, and preaching way before I was supposed to be and ready to be. But somebody thought it'd be a good idea to go ahead and do it. And I remember being at your church, and in my immaturity, and I think what it is, honestly, and I tell a lot of young preachers this now, you have a lot of zeal without the wisdom and knowledge to back it. And it's a lot of excitement without substance. And and I had said some stuff in honestly not trying to be anything like heresitical or anything like that, but it was just zeal. And it was too much zeal without any enough word. And being the man of God and the pastor that you are, you corrected me about 2 or 3 weeks later, and boy was I upset with you about that. Who does he think he is? But that probably, I'll be honest with you, that probably was more influential in my ministry and development of who I am, because it stuck with me. And I've always honored you for that, and I've always given you a tremendous amount of just respect and honor for being able to do that, because a lot of pastors don't. They just say, okay, I'm just going to forget them. But I think you loved me enough to correct me. And that's a true pastor.
I don't remember that, and I am very sorry I hurt your feelings, but I'm going to tell you, and I mean this. I saw something in you I don't see in most young people. I've been doing this so long, I have a pretty good gift at reading people and their spirit, and I knew there was something special about you, something very good, and I knew that God had his hand on you for a calling and a purpose. I don't remember what I said to you. I'm sorry I hurt your feelings.
No, don't be sorry. I needed it.
Well, I didn't mean to. And I trust you and believe in you so much. You have a standing invitation to preach in our pulpit anytime you want to, anytime. I trust you that much. And I don't let just everybody come, but I would you, because I know you're a good man, and I love you, and I appreciate you. And I'm so proud of the young pastor you've become.
Thank you.
So proud of you.
It's more of an honor than you know. So thank you so much for those words, Pastor Tim. And we are praying for you here. And anything we can do, please, please let us know.
Thank you, brother. Prayers mean more than anything. You know, when I was young, we used to have a singing group in a bus, and we had a band, and we traveled all the time. And I never forget what my dad said. They'd always give us an offering for our expenses. And my dad would always get up and say, "We appreciate your offering. You help us. It helps us get from one place to another. But the most important thing you can do for us is pray for us." And that's the way we feel about our church. We have people reaching out financially. We have people reaching out through prayers. And like I said, all across the United States, we've had responses. The most important thing anybody can do for us is pray for us. Mm. And so we appreciate that so much.
Amen.
Amen, Pastor Tim. Won't you pray for us before we head out for this morning?
I will be glad to. Father, we are so grateful today. I cannot tell you the joy and the love that I feel in my heart. God, some people see this as devastation. We see it as victory. We're not victims today. We preach it to our church. We're not victims. We're not begging for money. We're not begging for help. We know you provide, and we're not victims. We're victors. So we're just giving you nothing but glory. We're not going to give the devil one inch of praise. We're giving it all to you, God. So we thank you today for what you've done. This interview has been about a destruction that came to our church, but yet it's about the goodness of God and the glory of God. And I praise you for that. Our whole church is praising you today. On the other side of this, God, we pray for Pastor Aaron, the church there, the radio station, his assistant. I heard her voice a couple of times. I pray for a heavy anointing on her this morning. I pray, God, that you would bless them beyond their wildest imaginations. Not that we get glory, God, but I believe Scripture is real and true. I told the church last Sunday, it's either real or it's not. If it's not real, we'll close up and go home. But if it's real, we believe it. And we believe, God, that you're going to rise and bring beauty out of these ashes, and you're going to do great things. And so we believe, God, that we can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We believe that, God, you're going to bind the chains and break the chains of the alcohol and the drugs and all the sicknesses across our country. We believe you're real. We believe you're sovereign. We believe you're all-powerful. So today I'm praying not only for Pastor Aaron and his church, I'm praying for the radio station. God, it's a tool and a ministry. They have no idea the time that somebody has thought about suicide, and they've heard a good word on that radio station, and it saved their life. The encouragement that they bring, the edification that comes from those airways, God, we thank you for that. We pray for a heavy anointing. We pray, God, that you would supply all of their needs. We pray that you would grow that ministry. We pray that you would grow that church, and that people that are lost would come running in and find you as Lord and Savior of their life. We just believe today, God, that you're going to do all this. I do believe that we're not in the last days anymore. We're in the last hours, and I believe we better be getting ready. And so we promote the kingdom of God every way we can. And God, I pray that you'll bless all these things that we ask for. And it's all for the kingdom. We'll give you honor and glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you
so
much. Love you, Pastor Tim, and I'll be talking to you soon, sir.
Okay, sounds good.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. What a powerful testimony.
What a sweet man of the Lord. I just felt such a sweetness.
Yeah.
And the Lord's presence.
He was my pastor, my family's pastor for most of my childhood. I can remember,
and, like, younger days.
Yeah, and just so
that was cool. I remember you sharing that story a lot, so it's cool to see or hear from the person that is in the stories. firsthand. Well, that was just that's very encouraging. You know, that to see the joy. It's not always what you expect. That's what makes the testimony so powerful, is when someone's able to have that much joy in the midst of something like that.
Yeah, it's
and confidence in the Lord.
Even the statement of, we are not the victim today.
Yes.
We are the victor. Amen.